Okay, so I figured that what we would do is do a little bit of Hanukkah stuff and see some expansion of the issues we've been talking about. So since we've been talking about the status of electric lights as fire, mostly in the context of the Isser in terms of Shabbos, I figured we'd look at it a little bit in terms of mitzvot. I've mentioned this website before, but so it's good to remind people because it really is a great resource. So the Olamot website, which is started by Tzvi Reisman. Right, every week they put out basically a source packet like this with a guide for people to give shiurim to each other. So it organizes all the sources there. What? It's a great idea. I mean, Tzvi Reisman, who I don't know why he doesn't want to be called rabbi, but whatever. He's a massive Talmud Chacham. He lives in Los Angeles, and he gives a shiur like this every week. And he's written like 10 Svarim, 12 Svarim, I don't know, something like that. He's a very, very wealthy man. He's the CEO of some cosmetics company. So anyway, so they have one where it really just collects a lot of Chashmal B'Torat Ner, and we won't go through through everything, but I figured it'll be good. You have the sources now if you want to look at them. Okay. So just to do a little chazara, so if you look here on page 2, so the reason that we get into this is, if you remember, the Gemara on Daf Mem Bet. So if you look at the Gemara over here on the bottom of page 2, the Gemara had said, Mechabin gachelet shel matechet b'rishut harabim b'shvil shelo yuzak yizoku barabim. You're allowed to extinguish a red-hot metal, piece of metal, right, which we call a coal. But a metal coal on Shabbat, if it's going to damage people, avaloga chelet shel eitz, but not wood. The east alkadai, what? Page 2. Right, the numbers are at the top. The east alkadai tachstavar lakir vishimon afilu shel eitz nami. And then the Gemara says that this is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda who holds that davar sheino mitkaven, that even something which is unintentional on Shabbat is forbidden. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that something which is unintentional is permitted, it'll be permitted according to everybody. So the question was, why are you allowed to extinguish this metal, this red-hot metal? So there's two basic possibilities. One is that it doesn't count as fire, and therefore extinguishing isn't fire. The alternative is that it is fire, but... And therefore, if you ignited it on Shabbos, if you heated it up to the point where it's red on Shabbat, it would be mavir, would be fire, but extinguishing it is not going to be mechaber, because something is only mechaber midoraita if you extinguish it with the intention of creating charcoal, right? Creating something which is charred and now easily ignitable, which is true of a piece of wood when you blow it out. It's true of a wick. It's not true of a piece of metal when you let it cool down. What? We call it coal. Right, a coal is like that, right? I mean, think about it, right? You pre-light, right? If you pre-light your barbecue, it'll light better, right? If it's charred already. Right? So it's, no, it's not okay. That's the point. No, I mean, that's the paradigmatic case of mechabed, where it's constructive, because by blowing it out, you actually make it better. Right? But by fire, when you let it cool down, it's just returned to neutral. So, as we saw, so the question is, in this circuit, when we say that there's not a biblical problem with cooling down a piece of metal, is that because it's not considered fire to begin with, or it is fire, but extinguishing it is not the same as extinguishing a piece of wood or a coal or something like that. So we saw that the majority view is that it is fire. So for example, you look at Rashi, right? Rashi just says, "Shemashlichen lochot psolat shebarazot loshech kibui ba'achi midoraita." It's not extinguishing, and why not? So if you look at the side, the Delukute Rashi, this is from Rashi, Shabbat Kuf Amadalid, Rashi says, Loshach v'kibui de'eno nasa pecham. Because even though it seems like heating up metal to the point where it's red hot would be mavir, would be fire, cooling it down is not mechaber, because mechaber requires the creation of some sort of charcoal, something that is easily ignitable. And that's why if you look at the Rambam, at the bottom of the page, the Rambam, in talking about Hamavir, Kol Shehu Chayav, when you light something on fire, so even if it's a little bit, you're Chayav on Shabbat. And if you look at the end of the Halacha, so he says, Amachameh Barzel, Kedei L'Tarfo, if you heat up metal to, in order to smelt it, Hareza told it Mavir. So that is Mavir, that is a subsidiary of making a fire. The Raivid isn't so convinced. If you look at the Raivid and the underlying part, he says, V'lama lo mishum v'vashel. He says maybe it's not fire, maybe it's cooking. But as we saw, the majority position, the Magen Avraham seems to rule that it is not fire, and that we saw was the position of Goren, and that's why he saw that incandescent light bulbs are not fire at all. But the majority position follows the Rambam, who says that indeed it is Mavir. It is igniting of a fire. And therefore, we saw that most of the poskim felt that if you lit, that you turned on an incandescent light bulb or a heating element of any sort, a space heater or the like, it would be asur on Shabbat because of Mavir. Yeah. Meaning what? How are you... Correct, but you could have a pre-existent fire, right? Fire that you lit before Shabbat. If you have a fire that was lit before Shabbat, so you're not, right, so you're not chayav for lighting the bonfire or whatever it might be, right, because it's already lit, right? But if you stick the piece of metal in it and you think it's mavir, so then by turning it red hot, that was the act of mavir. You're right, you need some pre-existing heat source, but it can be from before Shabbat, in which case, right, the liability wouldn't come from the original fire, it would come from the extension to the piece of metal. So what I want to do a little bit, like I said, is sort of test this this issue in the realm of mitzvot. Because once you had this this idea out there that a red-hot piece of metal was fire, and therefore, if you turned it on Shabbat, you turned on an incandescent light bulb, it would be fire. So then the poskim started to ask, well, what about not the realm of Isurin, but what about the realm of mitzvot? Because we have many mitzvot that require some sort of candle thing, right? We have, obviously, tonight, the Nerot Chanukah, we have Nerot Shabbat, we have Havdalah, which is different standards. We have many different times when we use fire, right? And in each of those cases, one, you have to deal with the question of, do we actually need fire? And if we do, is this fire? And the second question is maybe, right, you don't need fire. Maybe some of those are light, right? Those are really about having light rather than having fire, in which case this question is irrelevant. That's part of the issue. But another one of the issues, and again, this becomes very important, both in the realm of mitzvot, but in general, in Yisurin as well, is it's not just enough to figure out whether it's fire. There are other questions you have to ask. So, for example, you might think that turning on an incandescent light bulb, that an incandescent light bulb is fire. But you might think that turning on a light switch is not really an act of lighting. It's something else. It's, I don't know, right? It's indirect in a certain way. Which, maybe for Shabbat, that would make you chayav anyways. Maybe it would not. But maybe for lighting a Hanukkah candle, that wouldn't be sufficient, right? Because we know that when you light a Hanukkah candle, it's not just enough to light it. But there's a very specific way you have to light it, right? You have to light it until the flame is olem me'eleha, right? Remember this tonight, right? When you light your Hanukkah candle, you can't just light it when it's like, you know, barely lit, and therefore it, you know, you take away the shamash in your hand, and then the flame eventually, right, the wick catches. You have to wait till the wick catches, right? So it's olem me'eleha. So the flame is already in the Hanukkah candle, is already lit, is already at its full force. So maybe when you turn on the light, even if you're creating fire, maybe it's not quite the right act of hadlaka. It's not the same type of lighting. So there's all types of complexities that could complicate this issue, even if you ruled like the majority of poskim that it's fire, it still might not be the right type of fire, the right type of act of lighting for mitzvot. Another problem might be the fact that it's inside of a light bulb, or that it's inside glass. So on Shabbat, it might not make a difference. Right? On Shabbat, you might say, look, if I light a fire, who cares whether I have direct access to it, I can see it directly, or it's through something, you know, transparent or not, it doesn't really matter. But that might not be the case for Shabbat or Hanukkah or Hamdallah or something like that. Maybe you would argue that in such a case you actually need a direct access or direct sight of the flame, and seeing it through glass is too indirect, is blocked in some way. And therefore there is this second layer of questions that you have to ask when you're dealing with both the mitzvot and the yisurin, but we'll focus today on the mitzvot, which is, again, even if you accept the notion that it's fire, the question is, are there other problems in terms of the lighting, in terms of what's being blocked, and the like? And we'll also see that in certain circumstances, the question is fire enough? Right, we know that by Hanukkah there are those poskim, we'll have to look at it a little bit, who believe that in Hanukkah it's insufficient to have just fire. Ideally, at least, you should have fire which is similar to the fire used in the Mikdash. And therefore, right, those who follow that position tend to like olive oil rather than candles, simply because olive oil is what is used in the, right? The Gemara prefers olive oil, but that's because the Gemara says that olive oil is the clearest type of flame that they had. But that may no longer be true. Our candles are pretty clear, but there are other folks who would say, well, in addition, maybe fire isn't enough. Maybe even clear flame is not enough. What we want, ideally, is a flame that mimics that which was in the miracle. And again, maybe an electric light would not be that, even if it was indeed considered fire. So that's what I want to take up. So let's look at a few issues, and we'll see what we get through. So so let's start with, I guess, let's start with Ner Shabbat. Okay, so let's look at the top of page 2. So Ner Shabbat, the Gemara says, my taima, Rava mitoch shevechora, right? You can't use certain types of oils and fuels because they smell bad. She says, so what's the problem? Why shouldn't you light it with something that smells bad that will make the person leave the room? Because I think lighting a candle is obligatory because of Rashi notes kavod Shabbat. Right? We know this is not like a huge chiddush to us. We know that there's an obligation to light, to have lights going on Shabbat. Amar Rav Nachman bar Rav Zavda, Amar Rav Nachman bar Rava, Amar Rav, Hadlaka Nevi Shabbat Chova, lighting candles on Shabbat is an obligation. Rechita Yadayim V'Raglayim, B'chamin Arvid Rishut. Showering in hot water, essentially, or your hands and feet at least, before Shabbat is Rishut. V'ani Omer Mitzvah, but I think it's a Mitzvah, my Mitzvah. The Omer of Yehuda Marav, Kachayim in Hagosher of Yehuda Bar Eloi. This was the custom of Yehuda Bar Eloi, Rav Shabbat, Mevin Lo, Arevam Le Yachamin, Rav Chet Panav Yadav Viraglav, Umitatef, Yoshev Vistadin, Hamidin Hamitzurin, Vidomelam Al Hashem Tzvakot. He used to shower and wear white clothes, and he would look like an angel. Vayu Tamidav, Mechavin Mimenu, Kanfek Sutan. So Amr Len Beni Lokach Shaniti Lachem Sadin Betzitzit Besham Ayfotrin. So they get into a little bit of a discussion about Tzitzit, which I'll leave for now. And then the Gemara again quotes Vatiznach Mishalom Nafshi Nashiti Davamai Vatiznach Mishalom Nafshi Amr Avos Vatlaka Neri Veshabbat. Right. So there is this obligation to light Hanukkah candles, and you look in the Rambam writes in the next door, so Vatlaka Neri Veshabbat. Eina rishut im ratza madlik ratza eino madlik v'lo mitzvah. It's not a rishut, meaning you don't have. It's not something. If I want to light great. If not, not. Velo mitzvah shenu chayav l'rdofa achra ashi yaseh. And it's not even just at the level of mitzvah where you should do it, but you don't have to run after finding fuel and finding a candle. It's an obligation. And men or women must have candles lit in their house on Shabbat. Even if he doesn't have anything to eat, he should go and beg. Shulchan Aruch as well, next door it writes, that not only the Rama writes, and if you had a candle burning early in the day, you even have to blow it out and relight it. Right? Because you have to light it, l'shem Shabbat. But the Mishnah Berurah qualifies, and he writes, but that's only if you didn't light it originally for a Shabbat. Nevertheless, if you lit it early, so then you don't have to extinguish it, even if it was really early, as long as you did it for Shabbat. So what questions did the poskim ask when they were trying to figure out whether this obligation could be fulfilled with electric light? So again, the first one they asked was, well, is it fire, right? But then they asked a few other questions, which they said, okay, is it fire? Second question is turning on a light called lighting? Now, does that matter? So if you look at the Rambam carefully, right, so what the poskim said, well, we have two questions here. One is, does turning on a light count as lighting? Or is it too indirect to be considered lighting? Question one. Question two is, let's say that turning on a light bulb is not called lighting. Is that a problem? Now, what indication do they have from the Rambam that it might not be a problem? So if you look at the Rambam is a little bit complicated. What does the Rambam say? Well, so that's in terms of it being fire. But in terms of the mitzvah of Shabbos candles, how does he formulate the mitzvah? He says that men and women are both chayavim liyot v'vetan ner galuk b'shabbat. They're supposed to have a light which is lit. Supposed to have two levels of questions. One is, well, three, right? One, is an electric light fire? Question one. Two, even if it is fire, is turning on a light bulb considered lighting it? Question three, is there any mitzvah to light Shabbat candles? Or, as the Rambam formulates it at the end of the halacha, is it passive? Meaning, there's not a mitzvah to have a candle, sorry, to light a candle, there's a mitzvah to have a candle lit. In which case, question two might be irrelevant, right? Because it could be that you'll say it's not lighting, but who cares? It's lit. Or at the end of the day, it's lit. So that was the third question. Now the fourth question they ask is, well, even if it's not fire, does that matter? Right? Is the obligation fire or is the obligation light? Right? Those, in the case of Shabbos candles, is it really necessary to have fire? And then the next question they look at is, okay, well, even if you could use it, is it ideal? And that's based on what you have here in Siman Reish Tamach Daled, where we paskin, based on the Gemara, that Shar Kol Shemayim Chutz Me'elu, besides the problematic oils that the Gemara lists, Madlikin Man, you can light with any of them, when we call Makom Shemen Zayit, Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar. But the best is olive oil. And Shabura says, the main time is, Matzah Mitzvah B'Shar Shemayim Sharon Salul. You don't have that, you could use any other. Now, why is olive oil the best? So it could just be because it's clear. If it's clear, so then if you found something else which is clear, so that would be fine as well. Okay. So now let's take up each of these questions. So if you skip to, now go to page 3, look in the middle. right? We've already seen this tour in Shulchan Aruch before. So let's look at Ayin Zayin. So the first question of whether turning on the light bulb is considered lighting or not, right? Even if you think it's fire, is it considered lighting? So, well, what issue, right? What sugya would you look at? So the post can look at a series of sugyot that discuss the concept of grama. What's grama? Yeah, indirect causation, right? So in many areas of halacha, indirect causation is not considered a significant factor, at least not biblical. So if you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, Zarok bochet utris biyado, va'acher unatlo, afilu kodav unatlo patur, tibi idna deshadi be mifsak paske. So if you shot an arrow and then someone came and took it, so then you're exempt because he stopped it. Fine. Skipping down, the Gemara says, "Itmar Amar Papa, I'm on the kafte lechavrei." If someone ties up, I don't know if you call him his friend, but his fellow, the ashkel ale bidkodimaya, jire didehu umechaye. Right? If you tied someone up and then directed a flood of water in his direction so he drowns, that's called murder in Shabbat. Yeah, that's called direct. Because it's like your arrow. U'mechayev. But hani mili b'koach rishon. But that's only if you did it directly. Avo b'koach sheni. But if it was a secondary force, grama ba'almahu. It's considered indirect. Now, obviously, it's a bad thing to do. You shouldn't kill someone at all. Right, there's a flood. So, right, so this is the question of what does it mean? So, here in general, there's a machlokas, Rashi and Yad Ramah. Rashi thinks that anything that has a time delay is considered grama, is considered indirect. If you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, "Bekoach rishon, kishepinelem derech letzadzeh miyad naflu olav devi kocho." If it happens immediately, so that's called your direct force. Avol bekoach sheni shenichol rachok ksa. But if you put him a little bit far away, that's already considered indirect because there's a time delay. The Yad Ramah here writes, that's not true, right? Meaning, if I shoot a gun, so, right, it takes a second or two, but if I'm a, you know, sharpshooter, sniper, and I can shoot from 2 miles away, so it takes, you know, a few more seconds for the bullet to get there, I'm not, if you're wondering, I'm not, but whatever, if I was, right, then that would still be considered direct. What do you mean? It's your action. Who cares about time delay? The Yad Ramah says grama is in time delay. It's a question of, is there something else, right? Is there a stage that is removed from you? So, like if I, you know, throw the ball and it hits, you know, a bucket and the bucket hits whatever and eventually, right, that's grama, right, where there are stages removed from my action. That's grama. But if it's simply time delayed, that's not grama, that's considered direct. But what you have, whether you hold like Rashi or the Ramah, what you have is that in certain areas of halacha, we view indirect action as being insignificant. So what about, right, so what would you say, therefore, in the case of Shabbos candles, right? Is this is this direct or indirect? So look, turn to page 5. So let's look at the Achiezer and the Hartzvi. Okay? So Achiezer is a Chaim Ozer Grudinsky. Hartzvi is a Sibet of Frank. So the Achiezer first deals with the question of whether it's Asur on Shabbat. Okay? One of the nice things about getting anything, I've showed this before on the Olamot, is just that they underline key lines. So we can sort of you know, more easily skim through them. So he was asked about electricity on Shabbat. So first of all, he said, "Al dat bakashatel levater levarer bar yachon shelo odonin nidfas sham benogele electric the Shabbat." You wanted to ask me about electricity, karnish pashta or ali yisur b'chol tzot Yisrael. Everyone thinks it's just sort of. Okay? For what reason? We've already talked about different possibilities. So to skip down to the third paragraph, and he says, "V'hinei b'ikar davar shemarim b'yarchon ofen adlakat elektri shebetarim ikhansu l'tocha zchuchit hefzek yesh bo." Right, that since, right, they dealt with the question of what if the way you, right, when you turn on this electric thing is, you know, you turn the switch, and what you're really doing is you're creating a bridge for, right, you're creating a circuit which allows the electrons to come, right? Maybe you should say that even if the result is fire or whatever you think it is, maybe you should say that it's permitted because it's grumma, right? Or at least it's not biblical. So he says, I don't think so, right? So if you look at the end of the paragraph, he says, "Vanisha alti l'uman electric technic." Yeah, I asked an electrician, I guess. He said, "I looked at this. It's not really true. When you turn it, you do connect the circuit." He said, "Normally, when you turn on a switch, it really is direct." He said, "I talked to the guy. He told me he could come up with a machine where it would be indirect." Okay, fine. But he said, normally, when you turn an electric switch, it is, right, it should be direct. So next paragraph, he says, "Ulam." But maybe, "Gambo finzenire, the maizim before b'shat b'sanhedrin, haiman de kapte l'chavre v'afsel l'bitko demaya, gire didei nene umechayev." But he said, well, let's go back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin about grama. "Uvechidushe haramasham kata v'ikash lach michti halavet, the ozli mikachoskina, and elgon jayet of our mafstik, bein mayim uveino," right? As I mentioned before, that Rashi says grumma is about time delay. The Ramah said it's about whether what you did was direct or there was an intermediary stage between you and the malacha. Elgon jayet of our mafstik, bein mayim etc. So he quotes the whole Ramah. Look at the second to last paragraph. He says, "I ran before me to Ramah. That if you remove something, and that immediately causes the problem, right? Meaning, like, I remove the water, right, and it drowns the person. I didn't actually put the water on him, but he was next to the dam, and I pulled out the water from the dam. That's direct." He says, "V'haya chayel zekem avitko demaya, v'hachananin heisir agesher nizarma elektri." And therefore he says, even if you want to say that technically when you turn on a switch, you're removing a problem and allowing the electricity to flow, the fact that when I do that immediately it turns it on, he says, "Over me areyu kemo bitko demaya." So therefore, in his conclusion, he said, "Mukor mikol amar v'chivur achutin shel elektri l'avir v'yadayim devim melechet havara mamash." So when it comes to the isser of turning on electricity on Shabbat, the Achiezer says, even though you might say there's a certain time delay, or at some level all you're really doing is removing that which stops the electrons, at the end of the day, no. Because basically, as soon as I turn on the switch, whatever I'm doing, whether technically I'm bringing the electrons or preventing them from not coming or whatever you want to, at the end of the day, it's so quick, that's considered direct from the vantage point of halacha. The way other poskim, like Rav Asher Weiss have put it, and I really am partial to this, is it doesn't matter much about the technicalities. If the way the normal human being perceives it is, I caused this, right? I turn on the switch. I don't know what's going on behind it, right? But if I turn on the switch, and as soon as I turn on the switch, it turns on, That's called direct. That's how it's perceived. That's what it is. Yeah. Right, so Rashi is talking, no, he quote the Ramah. The Ramah says it's a stage delay, right? There has to be, right? So that's what Rav Asher says. Rav Asher says there's a very common sense standard here where it's not just, so the Achiezer says, look, if there's barely a time delay, right, it's essentially immediate, right? So then that's considered direct, right? That's not considered a stage delay. That's not considered time delay. Right? That's direct. Rav Asher White says, use a common sense standard, right? If I do something and it happens immediately, so everyone would say, you turned on the light, right? That's called turning on the light. It doesn't really matter what's happening behind the scenes, right?
Okay, but
So, right, so there's some complicated things that, right, this is what Machon Somet tries to do, is create situations where it's not just it'll take 30 seconds, right? What they'll do is they'll do fancy things, like put on a randomizer.
Yeah, that's what my
right, so a lot of the Shabbat modes, what they'll do is have a randomizer, right? Because then you add, first of all, suffix, right? Or what you do is, right, some of these, what they'll have is that every, 10 seconds every minute, the sensor checks, right? Like, automatically, if the switch is up, it goes on. If it's not up, it goes off, or whatever it is, right? It checks by itself, right? And it'll, right, so like, or it goes on for 10 seconds every minute, right? And if the switch is on, it stays on, right? So they'll say, well, that's, right, that's not direct, because there's this perceptible gap, right? So they on these, a lot of these machon, some of the things, they try to make it that it's at least, right, it's not just like in theory, that there is at least some way, even if it's very short, you perceive that there's a delay, that there's a, right, that there's a suffix, that there's something. So they use, right, so that seems not to be the case, right, if it's just, so, right, so according to Rashi, maybe, you're right. According to Rashi, it might be, right? My mishnah from my Ravim is that we pass them like the Ad Ramah, that it's about a stage delay, right? That it has to actually be like, I do something, which causes something, which causes something, right? But yes, according to Rashi, that might be only Grumma. It might only also be the Rabbanan. So this is in terms of the Malacha, right? So, what?
This is
about Shabbat, yeah. But this is talking about the issue. He's not talking about the mitzvah yet. He's talking about the issue of Shabbat. For the purpose of Shabbat, it's called direct. But now the Har Tzvi asks the question, okay, well, let's turn to the mitzvah component. Let's turn to Hadlakat Neirot. So what do you say? So he says, so what he says as follows, look at the left-hand side. He says, Ulefiza lichaora, lichumra, yesh lesadeh debesivava la kaftor shabatocha ma'arech, eino ela groma ba'almwa. He said, look, lichumra, right, basically he wants to have it both ways. He says, you could look at it as direct, you could look at it as indirect, and he wants to say lichumra both ways, right, that maybe it's direct for Shabbat, so it might be asur midoraita, but maybe you could argue that turning the electric switch in this way is indirect, and therefore you shouldn't be allowed to count it as lighting candles either. Right? Because all you're really doing, as he says, is getting the gesher, the bridge for the electrons ready. So the bottom paragraph on the bottom of 5, he says, "When I found the Isladun." If we say that it might be direct, but maybe you could look at the fact that you're not really doing anything. What you're doing is allowing the electrons to go, but there is this stage removed, right? It's somewhere in between. Maybe it's grumma, maybe it's not. So, right, the Achiezer took it as a given. It's called direct. The Har Tzvi says, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. No, let me just grab another chair 1 second. Right? So he says, maybe it is, maybe it isn't, I'm not really sure. So he says, see, so you got to ask, does this count for Shabbos candles? At least l'chumra, he's willing to entertain the possibility that it's only grava, that it's only indirect. And therefore, it's delo chashiv kamanda via daimavish, and it's not considered turning on directly. And therefore, maybe it's not called lighting candles. So if you turn the next page, he says, but ulam lahalacha hinini mistapek sat b'yisodu. Achelik ma'atish ha-mitzvah asay, om akish asyato u'begeder p'ula shuradayim dafka. Nimika mitzvah asay, daylo, gam b'gram asiyah. He said, maybe it doesn't matter. For a few reasons. Because, first of all, maybe it is direct. Even if it's indirect, who says that for the fulfillment of a mitzvah, it needs to be a ma'aseh mitzvah. Maybe grama is fine. Right? And therefore, maybe for Shabbos and maybe even for Chanukah, he says it's not really about lighting it b'yadayim dafka, elashi yishtadel, she'ner daluk b'bayit. Maybe it's really about the result, in which case, if it's more about the result than about the action, so maybe it shouldn't matter if it's indirect. And what's his proof? So if you look at the next paragraph, look at the underlined part, he quotes the Rambam, who says that you need a ner daluk b'shabbat, that you need a Shabbos candle lit, from which he says, mashma, de'ein ma'aseh hadlaka ikar ha-mitzvah. Maybe the act of lighting isn't even important, it's not really the mitzvah. Right, just sort of keep skipping to the underlying parts here. It says, but the point, at least by Shabbos candles, is that you are able to benefit as a result. If that's the case, that, right, he says, even if you think it's indirect, maybe it doesn't matter, because maybe on Shabbat, the chiyuv is to do something to make sure you have a candle. If that's the case, who cares? Direct, grumma, what does it matter? Maybe you can even make a bracha on this. So then he says, but wait a second, if that's the case, if you only need the result, then why does the Ramah say that if you have a candle that was lit all the way in the morning, you have to turn it off and then turn it right, blow it out and turn it on again? Doesn't that imply you need an actual action? He says, k'tat kasha lefiz zeh. Right, he said, if really it's just about the result, then why, if it's lit early in the day, do you have to blow it out and relight it? That the Ramah says you have to blow it back out and light it. Because according to what we've been saying, there is no mitzvah to light it. It's just to have it lit. But he says, I don't think it's a problem. He said, look, you could plausibly say that if the light was lit, there is no mitzvah of hadlaka. But there's no chiyuv to turn it, to blow it out. The only reason you have to blow it out is that you can perform the mitzvah, right? Is to create a situation where you're chayiv the mitzvah. So maybe the mitzvah really is to do something to make sure it's lit. The only reason you blow it out is so that you can make a bracha on having performed the mitzvah, right? So there's a mitzvah to make sure that the result happens. So if the result was already happening, you can't make a bracha. But yes, fundamentally, you would actually fulfill the mitzvah, even if you never bothered turning it on. Yeah. We're going to get that. We'll get to that in a minute. You'll see there are, in fact, folks going to say things like this. Fine. Okay. So he says, right, that maybe right? Even if you need a masa, maybe for the purpose of what you actually need on Shabbat, it would be fine. Now, you can look in page 7 that Sitzel-Yezer really goes to town and really fleshes this out. But I think that's just going to be overkill if we really look at it. Right. So in general, many of the postgame really do think that when it comes to Shabbos candles, the Groma question is less relevant because they, for a few reasons, they say first of all it might be considered direct. Even if it's not direct, it could be that for Shabbos candles, as the way right, she pays or he says it is, the mitzvah might not be to light it. It might be to make sure that it right, you do an action to make it be lit. So you could permit it in a few ways. You could either say the result is totally about the result, right? And the only reason you have to blow it out and light it again is you can make a bracha, but really it's about the result. Or you could say, no, it's about the action, but it's not an action of hadlaka. It's an action of doing something to make sure there's light. But for the purpose of the mitzvah of Nir Shabbos, groma is sufficient. So the majority of poskim say some variation of this. Now, there are exceptions. There are exceptions. If you look at the bottom here, page 6, Ritzvi Pesach quotes from the Rugged Shover, who says, who actually poskins, it's not an action, and you need an action. And therefore, he poskins that you're not allowed to use electric lights for Shabbos candles because it's not called lighting, right? And you need lighting. So there are those who think that it's not madlik. Now another reason that it might not be good is if you look all the way at the bottom of 7, the Sitzel-Yezer, he goes through a lot, but in his last paragraph, he gives another reason, which is maybe electric lights are fire, but maybe they're not candles, right? Because there's two types of fires we can have. There's a ner and what's called an avuka, right, a torch. So on Motzei Shabbat, for Havdalah, you need an avuka, right? That's why you need at least two wicks. For Shabbat, we in general want candles, right? So he says in the last paragraph, Omnam, aval yesh li od bazem makom safek sheino nogea klal shidon anala. I have another reason not to like it. V'hu sherei or chashmal shebizkuchit alech saviz saviz. The light goes around and around. The eino yotzei rak michod echad. It's not just one single flame. V'im kein, ulai nechav orzek avuka. And maybe it is fire, but it's a... right, but it is a but it's a torch, and therefore ideally you shouldn't use it on Shabbat. That'd be another reason not to use it. So lahalacha, what do people say? So the majority of poskim, as far as I can tell, think that it is okay, at least b'di'eved. Ritzvi Pesach thinks that it's fine, and they aren't so worried about dafka using oil or. Or wax. Rav Avadia Yosef as well. We won't go through all of them, but you have it here to look at. But Rav Avadia Yosef says as well that maybe lechatchila you should use oil or you should use or candles. That's only lechatchila. Right, but this is on pages 10 and 11. Right, he says, at the end of the day, right? Because of all the possible sfeikot, so it might be better if you can to get these candles. But in the end of the day, he thinks fundamentally it is mutter. And fundamentally, you are allowed to use them for Shabbat candles. Varn Cutler, at least when a woman was in a hospital, he would allow it. Rishlomo Zalman writes that if people use electric lights, so b'dieved is fine as well. Now there is a svara to say this is true, even if it's not an incandescent light bulb, because maybe you don't need fire, maybe you need light. But let's assume even, so, you know, like Machon Soma does produce little incandescent candles just for when you're traveling and you can't use fire, right? To basically, you know, assuming you need fire, based on all these, the post from the end of the day, right, do seem to say that there's a good reason to assume that for Shabbat lights, it'll be fine. Now, as Ruthie noted, there's a flip side to this, right? Which is, if it's good for Shabbos lights, so then shouldn't you have to turn off all of your lights in your house before you, even if you want to use candles, shouldn't you have to turn off all the lights in the house to make a bracha on Shabbat candles, right? That was your question, Ruthie? Yeah. So the answer is, that yes, the Rosh Hashanah Zalman Orbach's suggestion is exactly that, is you should turn off all the lights in your house, and then one person, let's assume the woman of the house will light the candles, and then somebody else will, right, she'll make the bracha, and then someone else will go around and quickly turn on all the light switches. That was actually his suggestion, to deal with exactly that problem. I know there were other suggestions, I think it was Rav Moshe, who the minhag, as I heard it once, was that whoever was lighting the Shabbos candles would turn the lights off and turn the lights on and have it, and then immediately light the candles and say L'shem Kavod Shabbos, right? They just have in mind that it's part of Kavod Shabbos, that's part of the mitzvah as well, or whatever that room is, right? But basically, yeah, that you would, you know, turn on the light right before you lit candles and have that in mind. So yeah. Right? The flip side of it is not only can you, but if you do, you fulfill the mitzvah, and therefore you have to make sure to somehow integrate that into the mitzvah. But Lakha Shabbos, that is indeed the flip side here. And the poskim in general assume that when you do this, you can do it with a bracha. Right? Some people are not as convinced, but many of the poskim even think you could do it with a bracha. Okay. I wanted to do this topic really because tonight's Hanukkah, so let me at least try to get some of the Hanukkah issues out. So what about, right, so what about Hanukkah candles? So again, we've talked about some of the key issues here. Is this fire? Question one. Two, even if it's fire, like the Sicilyezer, maybe it's a torch and not a candle, but for Hanukkah you need candles. Three, even if it's fire, maybe the fact that it's behind a glass would be problematic for Hanukkah candles, at least, where maybe you need a more direct sight of the candle itself. Again, just like by Shabbos, the question of, is it lighting, right? Maybe it's considered finder, maybe it's in a candle, but maybe turning on a switch is not called lighting, in which case it would be a problem. Another question that the post can add, but this is unique to the case of Hanukkah candles, and that is, as I mentioned before, the Gemara says really you can use any oil for menorah as long as it is clear, right? But starting with the Meiri, some of the poskim start saying that lechatchila on Hanukkah, you should have a fire source that mimics the one in the Beit HaMikdash. So maybe it'd be problematic because of this. So, and then another svara that is brought up specifically in the context of Hanukkah candles is maybe part of what defines something as a candle for the purpose of Hanukkah is that, right, if you think about Hanukkah, Right, how much oil do you have to put in, or how big does your candle have to be? To last the time, right, 30 minutes, whatever it might be. But what is, so some of the folks can look at that and they say what you see is that something, in order for something to be a Ner Hanukkah, it needs its fuel to be inside of it. Right? It needs to be that it has like a fuel source that's enough for a certain amount of time. Where a plugged in menorah isn't really like that, right? It could last for hours, that's because it's drawing on an, you know, essentially infinite source of power. But it, the power source is not in it, and maybe what defines something as an Ner Hanukkah is that it has enough of the oil, so to speak, inside of it. And maybe that's not true of an electric light, right? So all of these svaras are brought up in the context of Ner Hanukkah. Yeah. Oh, very good. So that's exactly what Shlomo Zalman says. Shlomo Zalman says that a battery-run menorah would be fine, whereas a plugged-in menorah would not be fine for exactly that reason. Yes, that is Shlomo Zalman Orbach's argument. Okay, so let's quickly try to look at some of the sources on this and what did people actually say. So here, look at page 8. So this is on the bottom half of the page, right? Shlomo Zalman. In terms of Ner Hanukkah, right? This is Sefer Mori Eish. So he writes, so Shlomo Zalman says, look, the underlying part, she'en eit kol alach reish yir chatzi shal, min gar shizlik, l'tzorach mitzvah mi b'inan dum yod v'nor shev mikdash, shorali de p'tilash yo evet shemen. Do you need it to be like the mikdash where it was drawing on a finite source of power? If that's the case, v'achan amikan. So zhich hamam shemen kiyem mitzvah min amukhar. He said, I get it that you don't need oil, you only need oil l'chatzchila. But maybe you do need, in the end of the day, that it should be a finite source, so that it's like a candle. Or maybe he'll say, no, you don't need that. So he says, so he said, Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkas was asked. So he says, B'nir shol chanukah shemen doleik below p'tila, rak munach tas k'tana, tas k'tana. So the Beit Yitzchak was not worried about this. Right? He says it's not min amuvchar. So he says, so he raises several svaras. If you look at Bet, I skip down to Bet for a minute. He says, so Shlomo Zalman says, no, I think you need something that will eventually burn out, right? That will lose its source. That's not true in the case of a plugged-in menorah, and therefore he doesn't like the plugged-in menorah for that reason. Another svara, specifically by Ner Hanukkah, is that maybe if you just leave on, you know, an electric light, that wouldn't be good because there won't be any Pirsumei Nisa, right? No one will understand that if you just turn on a regular electric light, it'll be Pirsumei Nisa. Now, that may be true, but maybe you could turn on, like, the electric menorah for that possibility. Yeah, it would have to be something.
But back in the day, they didn't do that. They had candles for their house and there was candles outside.
Correct. But, no,
I'm thinking it was like the exact same thing.
No. That's what the Rajah points out. That's exactly the point. The Rajah points out the reason you put it outside, sorry, that's one answer. There's two answers that we've shown him why you put it outside. But one of the answers is to make it clear that it's not the light you're using. Right? Because the light you're using is inside. By putting it outside, you're making clear that this is a Shem Mitzvah. right? But you're right. If you put it outside in a certain way, right, you could solve this. This problem. So, right, so he says, right, so you have all these suffix, right, is it considered a nair at all? Is it considered direct? Is it like the mikdash? Right, is this, right, the asiyat shel hefet? Okay, so let's, we don't have so much time. So let me summarize what the postgame here said. So, so again, the people that, the svaras that are raised against are, one, it's not like the mikdash. Rosh Shlomo Zalman said, okay, it doesn't need to be like the mikdash. We know that oil is only lechatchila, so maybe it's lechatchila to have olive oil, maybe not. But that's not bidi evet. Now, maybe even if it's fire, it's not a candle, right? So we saw that in the Tzitzilies there, the Mikrei Kodesh has a version like this that maybe, again, you know, a red-hot metal is fire, but maybe it's not a ner ha-meir, which is, right, this is back on page 6, right, where he says that on Shabbat it might be fine because you don't need a candle per se, you need a light. But maybe on Hanukkah you need a candle, and this is not, because maybe it's you know, maybe it's not really that, right? It's you know, it's ein or shel shemen doleg. It's not really considered a candle. It's just, you know, it's a fire but not a candle. And maybe on Hanukkah dafka you need nair, sarich lahadlik nair. So maybe this isn't a nair. Right, it's fire, but not a nair. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman goes in this direction as well. He said maybe it's another problem because here you're not, you know, making the fire go up. Right, so these are really the svaras that were raised in favor and against. Now there is I don't think it's here, but Rosh Shlomo Zalman is a well-known psak. That Rosh Shlomo Zalman b'diavad really did think you could use an electric light, though not with a bracha because of all the sfeika that we had, but because of this this suffix of maybe something is only like a candle if it has its fuel inside of it, his suggestion was that if you're stuck and you have to use an electric one, to at least solve that problem by using a battery-fueled one rather than one that's plugged into the wall. And therefore, I think I mentioned this, but one of my friends, I'm sure I mentioned this last week, right, that one of my friends, right, Elon Mazur, he was traveling once on Hanukkah, and his post-it is Reb Nevin Sol, and Nevin Sol said, yeah, look, in the end of the day, Rosh Shlomo Zalman thought it was plausible that you could be yotzei with a battery-powered menorah. Again, he isn't sure because of all the different sfeikot that we raised, all the different doubts, and therefore he would say, don't do it with a bracha. But with the Evet, he did think that there was at least room to entertain that as a last possibility. Let's see, I have 2 minutes, so let me just quickly summarize. What about Havdalah? So again, by Havdalah, you have the poskim who say you can't do it because even if it's fire, maybe it's not a candle at all. Maybe it's just, you know, fire. It's not even an avuka. It's not even a torch. It's just like a fire. It's like a roaring fire, and you can't use that for Havdalah. You need some sort of, you know, candle-ish thing. Other postgame suggested, in the Kochma Yitzchak, he said, look, maybe Ma'orei Esh isn't just fire. It's a commemoration of the fire of Adam HaRishon, so it has to be real fire. Right, because part of this, you know, backstory is that was when, you know, Adam discovered fire, so maybe it needs to be fire. Some had this problem that you have to be able to see the fire, and maybe the glass makes it you're not really seeing it.
But then we didn't have a problem with everyone being there.
Oh, correct. Now, Reb Chaim Ozer Gadinsky and Reb Chaim actually had a minog to davka the havdalah on electric lights to show the world that it counted as fire. So they clearly weren't bothered by this at all.
All electric lights?
Well, they had incandescent. It wouldn't be true. For maybe on Shabbos, you could use, for Shabbos candles, you could use non-incandescent. On most of these Shabbos, it seems clear maybe only incandescent because you need fire. There were those others, though, who really didn't like it, right? Like Rishon Zalman, because it's through the glass, and therefore Lechatchila, he didn't like it. So again, you have these same types of machlokot when it comes to Havdalah. You know, this comes up in other places, and just quickly, and you can look through the sources yourself. Bidikat Chametz, there are people who think that it's not okay, but most of the post-game really do assume that it's fine, because they assume that it's really about light that you can shine in a corner. It's not about fire in any way, shape, or form, and, you know, a flashlight is better in that sense, because your house is less likely to burn down from that than from a candle. What about a yahrzeit candle? So the Gesher Achayim says, ideally he doesn't like it. But, like, the whole thing is a minhag. So he's like, you know, okay, I don't love it. Like, Achille should use fire, but whatever. If you don't, it's okay. I don't really know why that would be a problem. So these are literally some of the issues that are raised. There are others, but we're going to have to call it because I have to get home to light my Hanukkah candles. So this is at least a survey of some of the issues, and you see how, besides the question of whether it's fire, there are all these other questions, right? Does it need to be not just a fire, but an air? Does it have to be directly seeable? Does it have to be a direct action? Is turning on a light a direct action? Does it have to be done with the mikdash in the case of Hanukkah candles? Does it have to be mefarsim in the nes, in which case it might not be your normal light, but maybe a electric Hanukkah candle would work, menorah would work. Is it really about lighting, or is it about the result in the case of Shabbos? As another mitigating factor, does it have to be fire to remember the creation of fire, as another svara in the case of Havdalah? So you see that in addition to the question of fire, there are all these other factors that come in as well. That's at least a quick survey of it. And like I said, I printed out the source sheet so you can look at some of these more in depth. But I figured tying some of this together with a little bit of a pre-Hanukkah stuff would be good.